Good morning. Good job on quieting down. Wow. You really picked up the cues. It's great to see you today. I had a great time in southern Utah playing golf. It's good to get away and good to get back. So good to see you all. Welcome if you're in the sanctuary today, and there's a lot of you here. If you're out in the parking lot listening on the radio, welcome to you. And of course, if you're at home, like the Scheides, good to see you. We took in both Sundays we were gone. We took the service in online. It was really great. You guys back in the AV room do a great job. So it was a great church experience. So good to see you all. Just a few announcements before we get started, because this is the way we roll. First of all, we invite all who confess their sin and Christ as their Savior, sixth grade and up, to partake in the Lord's Supper today. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion. And then tomorrow, 9:30 to 11 a.m., Women's Home Bible Study at Rachel Runovich's. The address is there. This group, they changed their schedule for this month only, I believe. They're going to meet again on February 26th. And so not the third Sunday, it's the first and the fourth. Is that correct, Rachel? She's not here. Okay. All right. So Hans says that's correct. Mostly correct. I think it's correct. I got an email from Rachel. So first and fourth this month, if you attend that study. And it's open to all women. 8 a.m. on Wednesday, we're back in the groove studying the book of Isaiah. So come on out. We have a great time. We take a 15-minute break, and then the prayer group meets. So if you see a prayer card in your pew and you have a prayer request, put it in the collection plate. It will be prayed for. And then, of course, choir is starting up again as we lean into Lent and Easter again. So choir practice Wednesday, 6 p.m. In the chapel room. And if you love to sing, we would love to have you in a choir. We have a great time. And then 6:30, Grace Youth meet, grades 5 through 12. They meet for a meal, devotions, and games. And then Friday, weather permitting, there was these strange symbols on the Friday forecast. What are those things? Snowflakes? Oh, forgot what they were, but anyway. Weather permitting, I'll be down in Hutchinson at a meeting, so we'll see how that works out. Our February mission of the month is the Pelican Rapids Food Shelf, and then next Sunday, Transfiguration Sunday, as we're getting close to Lent. We, of course, are going to have a Sunday school confirmation adult study at 9, and then 10 a.m. morning worship, and then 11 a.m. We're doing kind of an audible here at the line. It didn't make the bulletin, but it's going to make the announcements now. We have some new residents in Erhard, and that is Vadim, Alina, and David have made it all the way from Ukraine. They're now part of our community, and we're going to throw a little potluck next Sunday to welcome them. And we're also going to take a special offering during the potluck. There'll be a basket out there if you want to contribute to that to defer, because they had some unexpected travel expenses, but they made it. They're here. They're in the U.S., and we're so happy they're staying with Darren and Michelle Tieberg out at their place, and I understand things are going really well. So we're just going to have a potluck fellowship meal, and they'll be here next Sunday, so that's a way that we're going to welcome them, as good Lutherans do, with food, right? So it'll be exciting to meet them, and so that's what's on the docket for next Sunday. So, we have, of course, put my glasses on here so I can read the announcement. So, yes, there's going to be extra food brought, but we need to supplement that. So if you feel like preparing a dish and bringing it to the potluck, let's go for it. Let's celebrate their arrival here. So Monday and Tuesday, February 12th through 13th, the Grace Quilters will be working in the Fellowship Hall. And then it all starts Wednesday, February 14th, Ash Wednesday. It's early this year, but we're excited. I love the Lenten season and Easter season. It's my favorite time of the year. So we begin our Lenten journey with our soup sandwich and the Word. Soup and sandwiches served from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. with Grace Youth participating, and that'll be followed by music, a very brief message, and then the imposition of the ashes. So if you come at 5:30, to 6:30 to get soup and sandwich. We'll have you out of here by 7. So, but we will do the imposition of the ashes. And then we take a week and wait. And then February 21st, we start our first communion instruction. So age-appropriate classes for 5th and 6th graders. And we'll meet February 28th, March 6th, and 13th. We'll make our communion banners on the 20th, and then First Communion will be served at our Good Friday communion service. One other thing that didn't make the bulletin, there's a confirmation retreat coming up February 23rd through 25th. It's a great opportunity if you have a confirmation student to go out to Inspiration Point. Dacia and will be leading that. The church pays for this. That's how strongly we believe in this retreat. So it will be of no cost to you. It's a great time, lots of fun to be had out there, good food, and then some teaching, but it's always a great experience. So if you have a confirmation student, we encourage you to get them signed up for that. So you can contact Dacia if you want any more information. There's a list of stuff to pack and bring, but it's a great opportunity. So thank you to all who volunteered to serve on church boards and have completed your terms. We just thank you for your service. And then thank you to those who have stepped up and said, yeah, I'll serve. So it takes a lot of volunteers to run this place, and we appreciate you. And then thanks to everyone who brought food and served last Sunday. Any other announcements before we get started? Yes, Karen.
Group 1, people from Group 1 will be helping to serve the potluck.
Okay. Salads, fruits, other things. There's going to be a big hamburger hot dish made for next Sunday, along with some other stuff. But anyway, potluck. You can't go wrong with that. All right. So let's turn the corner into our worship service proper. And we open our service in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's take a brief moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship.
Worship this morning. You can see those words up on the screen, and we'll be singing together Man of Sorrows.
Thank you. Our call to worship is a responsive reading. It's found in the book of Psalm, from Psalm 147, verses 7 through 11. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth.
He makes grass grow on the hills.
He gives to the beasts their food.
And to the young ravens their prey.
His delight is not in the strength of the horse,
nor his pleasure in the legs of man.
But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Let us pray. Most holy God, the earth is filled with your glory, and before you, angels and saints. Enlarge our vision to see your power at work in the world, and by your grace, make us messengers of your Son's goodness and grace. Lord, in your mercy. We'll turn to the hymn titled Beautiful Savior. It's hymn number 518 in the green hymnals, or as seen on the screens.
Beautiful Savior has delivered a beautiful salvation. And we had the privilege of discussing that in confirmation class today, that the kingdom of God comes to us. We didn't come to it. It comes to us in the King. And the King has delivered to us his kingdom through forgiveness. And we're going to touch base with that together again as we use our other form of confession. This is order of confession and forgiveness number 2. Note the scriptures, the promises that are woven into this beautiful time of confession. And let's do this together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father and Lord, we come to you just as we are, in all our brokenness, asking for forgiveness. Out of the depths we cry unto you, O Lord, hear our voice. Let your ears be open to our plea for mercy. If you, O Lord, should keep track of sin, who could stand before you? Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. We are caught in sin. The good that we want, we do not do, but we do the evil we do not want. We are broken in what we do and in what we fail to do. Though our sins are like scarlet, make them as white as snow. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. It's my great joy and privilege to proclaim to you the words of Romans chapter 8. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In him your sin is forgiven. He has called you by name. You are his. God's Son has made you free. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's peace be to each and every one of you this morning.
God speaks to us through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Is it he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, that spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing, and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness? Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Apostle Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I may win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." Our prayers. We pray for guidance, O Lord God. You have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as not yet trod, and through perils still unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for those who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy.
Thank you, Rick. Powerful words from our scripture readings in the lectionary for this week. You won't find any better polemic against idolatry than what you have in Isaiah 40 and 41. Isaiah, the William Shakespeare of the Old Testament. Beautiful words. And then the testimony of Paul, that the gospel is the priority in his ministry. Beautiful, beautiful words. Well, we're at that point in our service. We're about halftime. Let's take a time to maybe stand up, stretch our legs, and greet your neighbor while you're at it. Well, if there's any kids out there that are brave enough to come up here, there's some fruit snacks for you. I think Dacia will probably be on her way with the fruit snacks. All right, come on up. All right. All right, well, you've got a hold of the binoculars. Okay. Why don't you take those again and turn around, and what do you see out there?
People.
People, and do they look like life-size or do they look bigger? Yeah, because that binoculars magnify things. Well, what happens, though, if you turn it around and look through the other way?
It looks smaller.
Yeah, it looks smaller, doesn't it? Isn't that funny? Well, this is kind of what we do with God's vision sometimes. Paul, you just heard Mr. Drebelow read Paul, and he said that he wanted the kingdom of God to come to everyone. That's big vision, isn't it? That's God's vision. He wants all people to come to the knowledge of the truth and know Jesus. All right, we'll take these. Taking on a life of their own here. So we'll put them right up here where they belong. Okay. That's how I look when I'm deer hunting right there. So, all right. So God's vision is like when we look through the binoculars and we see everything much clearer. But a lot of times, because we're sinners, we look things like this. We shrink God's vision because we're kind of turned in on ourselves and we want everything for ourselves. And we're going to hear that in our Bible reading today. Jesus is healing people, and the disciples are so excited they want to keep doing that. But Jesus said, you know what? That's not what I came for. I mean, I'll heal some people, but I want to preach the gospel because I want everybody to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So remember that. When we look at the Bible, we get to see God's vision. And God's vision is that everyone gets to be saved. So, and that's what Jesus did on the cross. You want to hold that real high there? So that cross is for everyone, not just for us. It's for everyone. So let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, forgive us when we shrink your kingdom to just us. We know that you love us. We know you live in our hearts and you blessed us. But Lord, you want it for everybody. And we pray that you would line us up with your vision. Amen. All right. Thank you guys for coming up here. Let's give them a hand and get your fruit snacks. All right. There's the future of the church right there. Getting fruit snacks. All right. That was us at one time. Okay. I remember in church, probably the earliest memory of a hymn I have in my church life is Beautiful Savior. I don't know why that was, if I just happened to come to that point of remembrance at that time, but that's probably the earliest hymn I remember from my childhood. Well, as we come before God's Word today, let's pause for a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Enlarge our vision. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Amen. Back in June of 1978, a local New Mexico newspaper carried this classified ad. Farmer with 160 irrigated acres wants a marriage-minded woman with tractor. When replying, please send picture of tractor. Truth is stranger than fiction. Maybe not to you who farm, but we won't go there today. The story does make us think about how our priorities, though we try to hide them, often bubble to the surface, exposing our real desires. This is certainly true in our dealings with God. We might mask our priorities with pious-sounding prayers, but God knows our real motives. He reads our hearts, not our words. The clash of our human priorities with God's eternal priorities is seen in our gospel text for this fifth Sunday after Epiphany. Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. The word of the Lord. Certainly, in keeping with our Epiphany theme these past weeks, we see Jesus revealing his power, exercising his authority over sickness and Satan, As he visited Simon Peter's home, his heart was moved with compassion to heal Simon Peter's mother-in-law, who lay bedridden with fever. The healing was so complete that she got up from her sickbed and waited on them. But as miracle and healings go, word got out. And soon Simon Peter's house was swamped by neighbors, relatives, friends of friends, and acquaintances until it seemed that the whole town was there. They brought to Jesus their sick and diseased, demon-possessed. What a scene this must have been as our Lord gave healing and deliverance to each of them. What must these first days of Jesus' ministry have looked like to his disciples? News of the great healer was spreading, and his popularity needed to be capitalized on. And for them personally, the risk they had undertaken in leaving their fishing nets, their livelihood, oh, it was about to be rewarded in spades. In just one night, Jesus had won over the whole city. Certainly, in their way of thinking, and ours too, this momentous beginning needed to be capitalized on. News about Jesus' power was spreading fast. Now, if Jesus was running for public office, his poll numbers would be spiking, and the greater Galilean primary was a virtual lock. News of Jesus was sure to spread quickly to the nation's capital of Jerusalem. Jesus could ride this wave of popularity to the national throne and establish his new kingdom. They were on a roll. More miracles were needed. But here is the big question. Why would Jesus walk away from the crowds? The success of the healings, his overwhelming popularity, and his tremendous opportunity to advance his ministry. It's at this moment that this story of Jesus takes a startling turn. Instead of returning to the crowds who could be healed and added to the groundswell of his new movement, our Lord just walked away from it. The next morning, he left the crowd, the healings, the popularity, went off to be alone, to pray. Later, after a frantic search by his disciples, they blurted out the painfully obvious, "Everyone's looking for you. Why have you gone off alone to pray?" Can you see it? It's quite simply the way we all tend to look at things through the lens of our human priorities. It's like looking through the wrong end of those binoculars. We shrink God's way down to our own agendas. We can hear them say, "Jesus, what are you doing? Praying at a time like this. There are more people to heal. There are more people to add to our movement. Capernaum today, Jerusalem tomorrow. Can't we pray when there's nothing else to do? Carpe diem. Seize the day. Strike while the iron is hot." But it's at this very moment that our Lord says to his enthusiastic campaign workers, "Let us go somewhere else so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So what is Jesus up to here? Doesn't he live in the real world? As the old cliche goes, is he so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good? Why, with all these hurting people coming to him and his power to dramatically improve their lives, does he have to talk about preaching? The answer is found by looking at the fundamental dividing line that separates our human priorities and God's priorities. Let's just look and do a quick comparison, shall we? First of all, I see and work from the perspective of minutes, hours, days, months, and yes, even years. God sees and works in the context of eternity, forever time. I see and work from my own strengths and abilities. That way I get the glory. God sees and works from my weakness and my inabilities. He gets all the glory. I see the sickness of my physical body and yearn for immediate physical improvement in the now. God sees the sickness of my soul and yearns for my eternal physical resurrection in the future. I want the temporary. God wants the eternal. I want Jesus to be my King of glory, who will improve my life in the now and give me worldly success. Jesus wants to be my King of the cross, who will deliver me from sin and separation from God to enjoy an eternity of kingdom splendor. And so this clash between Jesus and his disciples, repeated again and again in his ministry, it's also my clash, for I'm cut out of the same human cloth. My human nature is locked into these same short-sighted, here-and-now priorities, causing me to look for earthly solutions to all my problems. And when I finally come to the end of my strength, turning my face upward to call out to heaven, I spend far too much time advising God on exactly what he needs to do to help me. But thankfully, as a patient father, he listens to my advice and then continues working toward his better promises for me. And I can and should trust him in this, because he sees what I do not see and yearns for what I do not yearn for, namely my eternal and complete restoration to what he originally created me to be and to have. And that is what the cross of Christ is all about, my friends. He suffered there for us, for our eternal future. And so we encounter Jesus in our text today, reminding us that if we are to know him, we must know him as he wants to be known. And to know him, we must come to know ourselves as we truly are, in desperate need of what he came to do. This is what he preached about. This is what we hear him say earlier in this chapter, back in verse 15. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, don't get me wrong. Healing and deliverance are good news in any day and age. To pray for that. Jesus does have the power and the will to help and heal us. But he reminds us today that these healings are not the sum of the total of his good news. After all, any physical healing in this life is really only temporary, isn't it? The mark of sin and death that we all carry in our mortal bodies will bring us one day to our expiration dates. But God has something after that that is much, much better. This is where we see the beauty of our Lord's eternal priorities, as he says, "Let us go somewhere else so I can preach. That is why I've come." You can hear the echo of eternity in those words. Later in chapter 10, verse 45 of Mark's story, we hear Jesus clarify this preaching when he says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." A lutron, the price paid for the release of a captive. That is why I've come. That is what I'm preaching about. We can see in today's text that Jesus is a compassionate healer. But we also see he has a priority that is always foremost in his mind, a priority that meets our deepest need. And in this moment of clarity, as he spoke about giving his life as our ransom, he went and said it. We are far from strong, far from independent, far from needing a Savior who can help us maximize our abilities. No, we need to be rescued. We need to be freed. Indeed, as God sent his Son to us on this rescue mission, We were far from shooting off flares and waving frantically to be found. No, instead, he found us like narcissists, peering into the pool of our own reflection, in love with ourselves, infatuated with our own strengths and beauty, and wanting even more of that. We wanted a king who would make our lives easy, not one who would tell us we are prisoners in need of his ransom to set us free. We wanted a king who would tell us to rule, not one who would tell us to repent. But today, we are so thankful that this compassionate healer correctly diagnosed our real sickness and gave us his cure. The great physician walked away from the masses and walked instead toward a lonely cross, our cross, which he then made his own. And in comparison to this healing, all the other momentary healings pale in significance to this eternal healing. Now we can have real hope in the midst of our present difficulties, and even when we face death, knowing that because of his priority for us, it will not always be this way. Physical death cannot defeat us, for his eternal healing transcends it. Resurrection and life are ours because of his priority. And to God be the glory. Let us pray. Patient Father, I praise you for the perfection of your eternal plan and the persistence of your heart for me in your Son, Jesus. Forgive me for viewing you as a computer and myself as the computer programmer, for treating you as passively waiting for me to tell you what to do. Help me to see that your promises are about the change you bring to my life. Indeed, every one of your promises directs my gaze away from me to Jesus, who is the ultimate yes to all your promises. I don't claim your promises, but they claim me. May my standing on your promises lead me to live contently under your authority. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you. Please be seated. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Come today, come hungry. Bring your hungry and thirsty souls, and Jesus will fill them. Come. fed and nourished. What a gift. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life, and we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Said, amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today for your ministry, for bringing your kingdom to us today in word and sacrament. Lord, we lift up especially this week those who celebrate birthdays. We pray that this might be a week of their understanding in a greater way your love and your forgiveness and your promises for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, each of us walk different paths through this fallen world. And we lift up our individual journeys to you now, asking for your help, for your companionship, thankful for your forgiveness and your presence with us. In this moment of silence, Lord, hear us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I'd like to invite you to stand as you're able. And as our time together this morning draws to a close, I'd like to invite you to join in singing together the Law Gospel Doxology.
Good to be together. We hope you can stay for the fellowship hour after this, the fellowship time. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious Lord.
Thanks be to God.